Sundays like this are one of the best parts of my job, if you will, for a number of reasons. But one is just simply this, is that Nate and his wife Charity, were here for a season as college students. And what they did with such excellence was they weren't just on the fringes, they weren't just on the peripheral, but they actually were part of the body. They were known and got to know the body as well. And I just want today, as Nate shares and encourages us, I just want that to be ruminating in our minds. The fact, both for us as more permanent members here of Grace Fellowship and as college students, that we don't know what lies ahead and that we make the most of the opportunities right now. If you're a college student here today, be a part of a body, plug yourself in, get to know the members there, because you don't know where the Lord's going to have you a few years. And this will be just a season of strength for you in your walk. And for us as more permanent members, as well, let's take advantage of the fact that for the season that we have students with us, that we get to be a small part of the story that God's working in their lives, and the fruit of their lives, we actually receive reward and joy from that, to see them prosper and to grow. And so it's just a joy to have Nate and Charity and their children here with us today, just to see all that God's done in their lives. And the other thing is this, is that we always welcome, we always give the opportunity for the missionaries that we support to have an opportunity to speak, because we always want to be stoking the fires of God's heart in us, and the fires that He has for the nations, and specifically today, Muslim peoples, His heart for them. We want to deposit from the Holy Spirit today in our hearts a zeal of the Lord for those peoples, that we would continue and grow in sowing, as Michael said this morning, through finances and through prayer, to see the ends of the earth reached with the gospel. So I'm going to pray, and then we will give the floor to Mr. Nate Leader. So Heavenly Father, we thank You today for the word that You have for us. Father, we thank You for Your Spirit in and on and anointing and filling Nate right now, God. And Lord, we ask today that we would have ears to hear what Your Spirit is saying to Your church, God. We ask today, Lord, that You would deposit in us, Lord, that You would share Your heart with us, Lord, for Muslim peoples around the world. Father, we ask today, Lord, that you would bring a shift in our hearts today, Lord. Lord, give us a greater vision for what You're doing. And Lord, we welcome Your word to us today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's welcome the leaders.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, well, this is awesome for me. Like Aaron said, I was here a long time ago. I was in this church for 13 years. We left about 7 years ago to go to Phoenix and get trained and get prepared to go out to the field. We went to Egypt for 2 years, and then we transitioned to Tunisia. That's where the country we're in right now. So this is awesome. This is phenomenal. I love the opportunity to speak to you guys and share. And today, what I hope to do, and I might have to go kind of fast here because I've got a lot on my heart, but I want to kind of give a message this morning, and then we have a luncheon afterwards. If you guys want to come hear like particular stories or ways that God is moving in Tunisia through Charity and I and our team and what we're doing, we welcome you back there. But this morning, I just want to encourage you guys, and I wanted to talk about purpose and vision. And these are things I'm very, very passionate about. And we're just going to open it right up into Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It should be up on the board there. I'm going to read it in the ESV. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him, male and female He created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And every beast of the field, every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. So, from the very beginning, we have this amazing picture, right? This type of the way things should be. We were made like him. And we're made like him. We're his image bearers. We're the ones that bring his rule and dominion to the earth. We're given everything in this. Adam and Eve were given everything. The world is yours. I give it to you to steward, to bring my rule, my reign to this earth. Under me, this world belongs to you. Dominion is yours. We trust God in this picture. We obey God in this picture, in this story. We thrive, as does all life around us. We take our God-given authority and we use it, multiplying righteousness on the earth. By fulfilling our purpose, we glorify God. This is heaven, right? When we see the story in Genesis, it's heaven. It's what we were created to be. Think about your home. You know, if we think about a house, that there's harmony between all the members, the children, the parents. Everyone is healthy, right? There's no sickness. Everyone trusts the other. Everyone loves the other. Everyone sees their responsibility to contribute to the family and the culture of that family. How amazing would this be if this was a 24/7 reality in every home? Maybe it is for your homes. For us, we struggle with that sometimes. But this is the picture. This is what we should be living like. But, right? And we know the rest of the story. But I think we miss some things. Because I think there's something that happened along in the story when the cornerstone upon which our purpose was built got shifted. Under the rule and authority and obedience to God, we were able to operate in our full purpose with the vision that God gave us. But when somebody listened, when we listened to the voice of the enemy, the voice of the serpent, the way things should have been was broken. Okay? The bedrock truth that preceded our dominion and authority was disregarded. No longer do we believe. We no longer stand under, right? This truth that what God says is true in his character and his commandments. Satan's so-called truth took the position that God's truth should have. Dominion was given away. We said, wow. This is a good-looking tree, and if I become like God, and I mean, maybe he's lying to me. Maybe I'm not trusting him. I'm certainly not trusting him because I'm going to eat this fruit. In this moment when the fruit was eaten, God's perfect order was broken top to bottom. The earth starts to rot from the middle, you know, like those peaches that you get sometimes, and they're rotting from the inside out. It's broken now. Death entered the world through sin. So, we see this everywhere. We see brokenness, we see pain, we see the evidence of sin everywhere, inside the very walls of this church. We see wars across the world. We see just the savage effects of what sin does and what the enemy's plan is and was when he lied and when we believed him. We have it. We see it everywhere. You guys know the rest of the story, right? It was, could this family, could this tribe, could this king, could this prophet, could this be the thing that restores the vision that God gave us? Could this be the restoration of the truth, purpose, and vision that we see in the garden? Could this be it? And it wasn't, right? All these things, they couldn't restore what God had intended until Jesus came, right? But we know, I don't want to linger here, but we all know that we don't find fullness and restoration of that garden promise through our job or even through a happy marriage or money. Those things aren't what restores, just as through the stories across between the fall and the coming of Christ. These things, while they were some of them good, and these people submitted themselves, they weren't enough. It wasn't going to do it. It wasn't going to bring it back full circle. Now we have health, and we know that in our lives. There's nothing that we can pursue in this world that is going to bring us back full circle around to now we are living a garden reality. And Jesus came, right? He can and does restore, and he gives us a call echoing through time about this restoration, right? We see this, and in Matthew 28, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." And then in Mark, the Great Commission there, he said to them, "Go into all the world, proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Okay, so when I look at the narrative of Scripture, right, we have that almost original commission given to Adam and Eve, and it's broken and lost, and they search for thousands of years. How are we going to see this restored? There's hope in the one coming, the Messiah. He's coming. He's going to restore it. And here we have come full circle, the restorative charge. We are given the charge to restore that original purpose, that original vision through which, for which we were created. An invitation to the reestablishment of the order that was intended. God, us, the world, we take dominion. We subdue the world. We multiply righteousness across the face of the earth. And I want to focus on these two. I'm not going to talk for super long today, but I want to focus on these two commissions and a couple of key passages, okay? And I want to talk about dominion. And we see that in both of these commissions, if you will, the first and the second. Brokenness of the design of our authority, brokenness of the design that God created from the foundation to the top, that it was supposed to be life-giving. It's broken all around us. Because we know who the ruler of the air is, right? We know who the one was who offered to give Jesus all the cities of the world. He brought him up to a high place. He said, "This, I will give it all to you." So dominion, again, was given away. We see this in Scripture. We see this in our own lives because we look at these dark places. In Tunisia, we walk around and we see the evidence of nobody operating in the truth of what the gospel means. Society reformation, again, that dominion being taken back and given to its rightful owner, the king. We live in the midst of spiritual battle. If you don't see that, open your eyes. It's the reality around us. Spiritual war is taking place. What is the rightful order of authority? God is the ultimate authority, and we live out his purposes on the earth. Don't we want to do that? Don't we want to be agents? Don't we want to be that original mirrored picture of I created you in my image so that you can show my righteousness to creation? Man, what a great invitation we have. But how do we get there? And I want to share a passage. This might seem a little bit out of left field, but it's been something that we've been praying as a team. And that's from Daniel 7, 9 through 12. I'm going to read it, and I'm going to kind of explain or tell you what I've kind of dug out of this a little bit. "As I looked, thrones were placed. The Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I looked because of the sound, the great words that this horn of this beast, right? The beast was speaking. And as I looked, the beast was killed and its body destroyed and given over to be burned with fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So, I love this passage because we've been praying as a team about what does it mean to take back this country for the kingdom of God? What does it mean to see restoration of society from the ground up? And we get some clues here. I just love that when we see, this is kind of that revelation into, you know, the destruction of Satan, the destruction of his kingdom. But what God doesn't do is walk onto the scene and like smack somebody, right? He doesn't like, oh man, I'm going to like have a fist fight with Satan. What he does is he takes his rightful place and he opens the books in front of him. He takes his place, and it doesn't say, and then he leapt off of his throne and slayed Satan with a sword. No, he took his place and the beast was killed, right? Dominion was taken away again. So we have this amazing invitation. We make space for him to sit in judgment in our daily lives, right? We can intercede. We see darkness. We see these things. We take up our rightful place of making room for God to sit in judgment in his rightful place. And the enemy is destroyed. As we give our all to him, he is given dominion over us, and we take the land for the Lord. We have this amazing invitation, right? We see the type in the prophetic people. We see this, that we can go, we can take through Jesus our original design back to taking dominion, destroying the work of the enemy. And that is a responsibility and an amazing invitation that we have to go back to the garden. We can make little gardens. We can cultivate that where we are. We don't have to let the brokenness of the world kill and steal and destroy. We are the ones who keep that from happening. We are the ones that keep that destruction from ravaging the earth. It's us. And that's a big responsibility. It's an amazing invitation to say, not only are you in warfare, but you have everything you need to take it back. Under me, under my authority, through the person of Jesus, we can walk in that reality. Amen. So I think that, you know, we talked about these stories, we talked about these two commissions, and then now dominion. Where are you trying to take dominion back? Church, where are we? Where are you personally saying, injustice, I'm interceding? Where are you looking on the ground and saying, brokenness, I walk through it, I change it? Where is the vision for taking back Tekoa, right? For taking back the corners of the earth, for taking back Tunisia? Where is your vision as a personal person, like you, not, you know, us or whatever? Where is God calling you to take back this world and to plant the garden again? Where is he calling you to do that? So dominion, right? Next, I want to talk about all the world. And I love the way that I love, obviously, the Great Commission is it's the Great Commission. But I love the way Mark says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Okay. Now, I want to intentionally not let you off the hook with the Great Commission, because all of the world leaves no room for miscommunication. All the world, right? We have every last bit. It all needs to hear the gospel. It all needs to receive that truth. All of it. So you go to work. You're in your home. Where are you? All the world needs to hear. Now, of course, yes, there's a call to go to the unreached places. But when we see that, what God designed us for, and we see darkness in Toccoa, Georgia itself. All the world. Taking this as a very present reality, I think that oftentimes people are like, oh yeah, well, you're doing that over there. So I'm just going to kind of, you know, maybe when God brings something up before me, I will, I'll do it. I'll walk in that. But there's a presentness to this. If all of the world needs to hear, if anything less than all is injustice, which it is, it's injustice for God, it's injustice for man, it is a lack of justice for the enemy. If that's the truth, then it is present. It is ever present, this call to preach the gospel to all creation. Presently, in a present sense, taking back the world, breaking sin and death presently. Don't bury the talent, right? Don't hold your cards and just wait to play it. There is a world that is desperately needing to be redeemed. There's a world that desperately needs the gospel preached to it. Anything less than all is injustice. Less than all. It's injustice. We need vision for this. Where is your all personally? Where is it? Is it workplace? Is it a call to go overseas? Is it your school? Is it your family? Where is all? Not only where is God calling you to take back ground for his kingdom, where is all? Where is he calling you to preach this gospel? To whom? It's all of us. It's every last bit of us. And it's an always reality. It's not a sometimes reality. It's always. So where are you interceding? What are you trying to take dominion back to restore the garden purpose, the garden vision? Where is God calling you to preach? Where is God calling you to share this gospel in your life? With whom? Everybody. And then there's this picture in both the commissions of multiplicative righteousness, right? That we, God, good fruit bears 30, 60, or 100-fold. That's what it does. And we desire to see the garden grow out of control around us. This is what drives our hearts in Tunisia. Our hearts beat to see just the garden and its fruit just explode. We have no control over this because it's multiplying faster than we could ever foster it. But God's doing something. We want to see lives being impacted generations deep. Generations of a family tree, generations of a community down the road. We want to see the seed of the gospel produce righteousness, multiplying, giving God this amazing amount of glory that we could never give him on our own. But anything less than all glory is injustice. Multiply across this world. Multiply in Toccoa, Georgia. Multiply again in Tunisia. Multiply in Cambodia and Thailand, right? These places where we are investing. Multiply, right? Just, it's such a powerful message. We have the message that makes this kind of change possible. We actually do. It's preposterous. And actually, when I went to Tunisia, I thought, it's preposterous to assume that any message on earth is good for every single hearer. That's ridiculous, but it's true. There is one and only one that every single person on the face of the earth, it is good news for them. That is an exciting message, an exciting, again, invitation that we get to take dominion in all the world and multiply righteousness with the power of the gospel. It's unbelievable. Man. It is the power of the truth of Jesus and the restoration he offers. That is what people need. I'm not even so convinced that it's, I'm very supremely not convinced that it's just forgiveness is what we need from God. Absolutely not. We need restoration, whole restoration, everything restored to the way that it should be, that it was intended to be. That's what we want. We need this vision. We need this vision for multiplying righteousness. Where are you trying to make disciples? Where are you trying to see righteousness multiplied? Where are you preaching the gospel? These two commissions have so much in them that we can live out in a fiery, faith-filled way. I am with you always to the end of the age. That's awesome. And we have the opportunity to be blown by the Spirit of God, right? And in John 3, 7 through 8, do not marvel to you, Jesus said, that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. This is the part of the message where, you know, we can take solace in something. This picture, you know, that I've tried to kind of paint in a short amount of time is huge. It's top to bottom. It's no stone left unturned, restoration, renewal. But this truth, Spirit. We get to go out and just lift up our sails. That's what our team says a lot. Sails up. And we get to take part in this with the guidance and filling of the Spirit of God. That's really good news. Because this isn't... Sometimes I feel like people talk about this passage as if it's a kind of willy-nilly, oh, I'm here, I'm there. No, this is a purposeful leading of the Spirit. He doesn't do things willy-nilly. He leads you to places that need life, need restoration. And I think that some people also say, so the Spirit's like this. We don't know where it's coming from. We don't know where it's going. But actually, so are we who are full of the Spirit. The world can't, you know, track where are you guys going? But we, with the fullness of the Spirit, we get to just sails up. This is a partnership process of seeing restoration, of dominion, all the world multiplying righteousness, being led by the Spirit. Four different aspects of this, right? Are we willing to be blown by the Spirit wherever it leads? It's a hard reality. And again, it's not crazy. It's not going, you know, all over the place. It is a purposeful, every step I take is giving glory to God and taking me one step closer to the reality He desires. A present, fiery indwelling, which enables all of the above to be a reality. Everything above, that's a reality. It is that presence among us. It's that presence in our lives that enables this to become reality. Are your sails up? Do you know the direction the Spirit is taking you? And then there's faithful obedience. And this is the last of the five things, and I'll recap those to make it clear. As we teach, as we go, right, we're teaching others to obey every command that Jesus has given. And we obey ourselves. Obedience is paramount. It is hugely important because those who know 5% of the words, and we've seen this with in Tunisia, those who know 5% of the word, but they strive to obey 100%, are giving God so much more glory than those who know 90% of the word and they strive to live out 5%. They strive to obey a fraction of that. Every command. I love this idea of kingdom ripples, right? That we see things that happen and create kingdom ripples. They create this garden reality. They do this transformational work. We don't know where it starts and where it's going to finish. But the thing that throws the rock into the water isn't being awesome. It isn't doing everything perfectly. It's faithful obedience. Faithful obedience is always the thing that throws the rock that creates ripples. We can try to be really cool and awesome and, you know, all these things, but that's not what's going to produce this kind of a reality that we so long for in our hearts and our guts. It's faithful obedience. Where is God calling you to be faithful? Where is God calling you to obey? So we see this, right? Okay, so we see wholeness in the original commission. We see brokenness through the replacing of that foundation. We see restoration. And in that restoration, we can once again see the dominion of God restored to him in all the world, multiplying righteousness through spirit-filled, faithful obedience. This is it. This is our lives. This is our purpose and vision in a nutshell. And every last one of you, no matter where you are, that's the reality that we live in. And that is the purpose and vision for which we were created. And now we can go back. We can go back to our lives and we can see this start to change things. Okay? And it's phenomenal. So I would love to close us up here and pray for us. But I think that... I'll just pray for us now. Okay. Father, Lord, we do not want to sleep anymore. Lord, we do not want to be unaware of the things that you are trying to do, that you desire to see around us. We do not want to allow the enemy's dominion to continue to rule over our cities and our neighborhoods, our countries of this world. We want to take part in the restorative act, Lord, that you are in the middle of in this world. So we just right now, we want to open our spirits and our hearts to ask you to fill us with the Spirit that we can walk exactly where the land needs to be reclaimed, exactly where the broken and hurting need to be preached to. Lord, we want to open our hearts right now. Fill us in the name of Jesus. Fill us again. Open our eyes to the spiritual reality that we have and the responsibility that you've given us, Lord. We thank you. You are worthy of it all. Anything less than all is injustice. Thank you for this church, Lord. Thank you for Jesus making this restorative work. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Nathan. You know, he did a real great job of explaining and expressing, you know, our role here in Toccoa today and in whatever facet of life we find ourselves of taking that dominion back to our workplaces, back to our homes, back to our community, back to our city. And I love how he said it sails up. It sails up. Holy Spirit, whatever you want to do, sails up. Holy Spirit, wherever you want to lead me, it sails up. And I just want to, I felt led this morning just before I even came here. If there's anyone here today, that's me. I want to say, sails up, Holy Spirit. If there's anyone here today saying, Holy Spirit, you've called me to this. You've called me to bring restoration. You've called me to bring your dominion to this area in my life. I'm here today saying, sails up. You do what you want in me, through me. You fill me however you want to. Sails up. Is anybody here that's feeling that call from the Holy Spirit this morning? There, Joseph. All right. Very good. If you would, if we could just have you come forward down here, just so I want to ask Nate and Charity. I'm putting them on the spot here. I know we didn't have a chance to talk about this beforehand, but if you guys would just be willing to come forward and pray for them, that way they're not having to run all over the sanctuary during worship time. But if you raised your hand, if you'd be willing to just come forward here and allow them to pray over you, just as Michelle plays, you know, we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit into this time, and just allow Him to search our hearts as well. In any area that we're not surrendering to Him as well. Let's just be responsive to Him as Michelle plays. But Heavenly Father, we thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the dominion that you've given to us in Christ. Thank You for the authority. Thank You that Your divine power has given us everything that we need for life and for godliness through the knowledge of You, Lord. And Father, we just say today as the people of God, as Your sons and daughters, Lord, as Your ambassadors, Lord, as those who carry this ministry of reconciliation, Lord, we just commit ourselves to You, Lord, afresh. Lord, we just say today we're done with excuses. We're done with excuses. Lord, we ask You today, just as Nathan prayed, Lord, wake us up. Lord, we don't want to slumber any longer, Father, but we want to walk in the fullness of what You purchased for us. We want to walk in the fullness of our calling as sons, as daughters, Lord, as Your representatives, as your Lord, agents on the earth, Father, full of Your Holy Spirit, full of Your power, full of Your anointing, God. Lord, we don't want to settle for anything less, but Father, we're fully Yours today. And so, Lord, we ask that You would do this work in us, that You would change us, that You would open our eyes, Lord. Lord, we ask today that You would share Your heart with us, Lord, Your burden, Father. Lord, to see justice worked in Tekoa, to see justice brought to the earth, to see Your name, Lord, to see Your glory cover the earth as the waters cover the sea, Lord. Lord, to see the fullness of the knowledge of You, Lord. Lord, that there would be no area on the earth left untouched by Your kingdom, by Your glory, Lord. That's on Your heart to do, Father, and we join You in that, Father. We join You in that in prayer, Father. We join You in that in surrendering our lives, Lord, to the fullness of Your purpose. We welcome You today, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name.